scripture reading today comes from Psalm 4 in your Pew Bible. You can find it at page 466. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are in your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thank you. And now, any children grades 3 and under who would like to go downstairs can come and follow David down.
Peace. Peace. All I want is to have some peace and quiet.
I know nobody in here has ever said that. And I'm certain you've never said it that way. You may not have even ever thought of it. Right? I see a lot of grins. So you've been there. I know that I've been there many times and have felt those words in my heart. Probably other times when I did not utter them. They come when we are so tired. They come when we are so tired sometimes of work, of noise, of bad news, of conflicts, of worry, of everything that's going on around us that seems to want to take our attention away. Take it away from things that we need to do. Take it away from folks that we need to share our concerns, our grace. Sometimes we can't even sleep in peace. Never mind the fact that we are awaiting the possibilities of an impending birth and kind of waiting for, you know, Bill Cosby talked about when his wife finally was about to give birth to their first child, and he said it was in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden there was this slap upside his head, and he said, no, I will not get married again if you die. And she said, no, it's time. And so he got up and started grabbing everything, and then she screamed and said, Bill, help me. And he went to reach out, don't you touch me. And then, Bill, help me. Don't you touch me. So I'm sure he wanted some peace and some quiet at that point in time. But sometimes we can't even sleep because of a lack of peace. Things weigh heavily on our minds. And when we go to sleep, they don't even leave, do they? The psalm under consideration today, while not a familiar one, when's the last time anyone actually remembers reading or hearing Psalm 4 read? It's not a familiar one, but it addresses all too familiar themes for many of us in the world. This is another one of those times where, in spite of the fact that we often say this is just old, dead stuff and has no relevance today, we're going to find out that, guess what? It's all too real here in the 21st century. Those themes of distress and possible conflict, which could easily overwhelm us and could have easily overwhelmed the psalmist. And yet he addresses confidence in God as well. Another important theme, probably even more important because of the chaos around him and the conflict that he has experienced in his life. A confidence that utters forth in a sense of peace. In a sense of God's grace, even when sometimes he doesn't see it. His trust is in God as the champion of the cause for one who is right. Answer me when I call, O righteous God, was the translation that David read. My translation very similarly says, answer me when I call, O God of my right. He recognizes that God is the champion of that which is right. And God is the champion not only of righteousness, but that God is the champion who oversees and protects and cares for those who seek to be righteous. Some scholars think that this psalmist might have actually been a priest or a high public official, though he needn't necessarily be. Any person can and often will experience conflict with others, conflict because of others, or maybe conflicts within our own hearts and our own minds. Conflicts that seem to overwhelm, that leave us a feeling of distress. But I think as we continue to read this psalm and reflect on it for a few moments, there are some other important things that he addresses. Things which might be of aid to us when we face stress, when we face doubts, when we face conflicts, when we can't get to sleep because we've just got so much on our minds. As the psalm opens, this writer's appeal to this God of righteousness is not a cry of despair, actually. It is an experiential cry to God to maintain his righteousness within the psalmist. It's not a cry of despair. It's a cry that begins asking God to maintain the good things that have occurred, not only around the psalmist, but the good things that have occurred within the psalmist in spite of the difficulties, or perhaps because of some of the difficulties. It is also not the cry of last resort, of foxhole religion. But it is a normal resource. It is a resource that is deep down inside of the psalmist. Why? Because he has regularly maintained his connection with God. He is confident that God will continue to hear his prayers and guide him through difficulty as long as he seeks to do what is proper. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. In other words, you cared for me. You gave me hospitality. You gave me room. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And in the Hebrew text here, the idea is continue to be gracious. It's not be gracious now and not later, but it's a plea to continue that same graciousness that he's already experienced. That same graciousness that gave him hospitality, a sense of belonging and a sense of care when he wondered what was going to happen next. He does not fear asking his questions. He does not fear God because of his relationship, because of his past experience of peace, even in conflict. And that peace has caused his faith to grow in confidence. Yet his situation of confidence has been tested. It's been tested by others. As he continues and says, how long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? As I said before, this is probably not a king who's speaking, because he would have just wielded the sword or wielded the authority and power. But this is someone who has seen opposition to things that he has said as well as things that he has done. Sometimes we do not speak up because we're afraid of opposition. Sometimes we don't share what's on our hearts because we're afraid of opposition. Sometimes we even fail to tell folks about God's love in Christ because we're afraid of what they might say in response. And yet, the psalmist here has experienced that, and in spite of it, he remains confident in telling, confident in knowing that God will continue to uplift him. Though he has been ridiculed, and maybe even his religious opinions have been ridiculed, he knows that there is no credence in what others say as long as he himself remains in right relationship with God. But notice, a lot of times we would, and I talked about this Wednesday night, a lot of times we would want to retaliate, right? The psalmist has every opportunity to retaliate, but instead of doing so, notice what he does. Instead of wishing their demise, he wants them to spend time meditating so that they too might experience God. But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. When you are disturbed, do not sin, but ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. His prayer is on their behalf, not just his own. Only one who is confident in God and who has true peace with God can pray for those who seem to be enemies. Some think that those to whom he speaks are people who seem to have little or no time for God. But he indicates to us that the response of the truly godly person is not only faith in God, but faithfulness to that which God calls us. Alta McEachern, in writing concerning this particular psalm, writes of verses 4 and following that we read a moment ago, and I quote, "The psalmist advised them to meditate on the things of God as they lay quietly in their bed." Apparently, the persons the psalmist was addressing expected a lot from their religion without putting much into it. They had tipped the Lord, but then expected him to bless them with great prosperity. End of quote. The psalmist shares with them what he has experienced and what he has learned. Offer to God proper worship. Offer to God right sacrifices from a grateful heart. And show your trust in the Lord. Now, that's really easy to say. Sometimes it's a lot harder to do, even for we who are church people. Some people may see the unrighteous prosper and begin to doubt whether their proper morality, whether at school, whether at work, whether out in the neighborhood, is really worth it or not. They ask, who will show any good, even if I do what is right? But the one who seeks and discerns God in meditation can find a way through those doubts and through those questions. She or he will find God's goodwill within their lives, goodwill to lift up smiling or shining faces on someone who needs assurance, to give goodwill and good wishes because we have received them from God. And the psalmist speaks confidently about this. He says, be angry, but don't sin. Literally, it means be perturbed. They might be angry, but they are to restrain their anger and to do what is right anyway. Therefore, avoiding sin and helping others to understand a proper way. We find, just as he has found, more joy which exceeds our satisfactions, which exceeds our expectations, if we can find our way into that kind of confident peace where, in spite of what the world is doing around us, or perhaps in spite of what the world is doing to us, God's joy and God's grace and God's mercy will be upon us. I know that, once again, that's so easy to say. I'm here to tell you, it's so hard to do, at least for me. And yet, it is only through that depth of experience and relationship that we can truly find ourselves not only to be faithful, but faith-filled followers. That deep relationship with God is one which does not find its way into things which fade and tarnish and break down. It does not come from people who in our own frailness and humanity will oftentimes let each other down. It's very similar to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Do not gather treasures where thieves can break in and where rust can corrode and where moths can eat away. But store up treasures." Store up treasures in a relationship with God, which cannot go away. Within his daily walk with the Lord, the psalmist not only has deep joy, he has an abiding peace. In full confidence, he can and does leave tomorrow's issues in God's hands. Once again, it seems to me that I remember somebody somewhere, and it was written down, said, "And do not worry about tomorrow. Today's issues are sufficient for the day." Jesus spoke those words with confidence, even in the midst of chaos around him, because Jesus knew that God is not only present today, God is present tomorrow, and God was present yesterday. And in that kind of confidence and deep relationship, while there are things about which we as humans will indeed worry, the greater matters are handled in relationship with God. Anxiety, troubling thoughts are with us so much of the time. But faithful and faith-filled trust is an important part of the cure. And having that faithful and faith-filled trust together with a sense of peace, that is confident peace. Have you ever known those folks that just nothing ever seems to rock their boat? No matter what happens, they always seem to be the same and on an even keel. And is there anybody in here that would admit to ever being jealous of that person who has it? I'll raise my hand. Don't want to do that too much. But I'll admit to it. That confident peace, that faith-filled trust, is actually an important part of the cure. And that confident peace and faith-filled trust is not something that we get a booster shot of and it's taken care of. It's not something that God does all by Himself, because we have to do our part. We have to do our part in the cure. But together, faith-filled trust, confident peace, that cry not of dereliction, but that cry of anticipation to God, can help to cure. When difficulties arise, we are to work toward solutions. I know people would say, well, I'm just going to sit back and pray and put it all in God's hands. And a part of it is praying and relying in part on God's hands, but there's some things that God wants us to do as well. And so when difficulties arise, we are to work together with God and with each other toward solutions. When things we cannot control seem to be going wrong, we need to ask God to give us the grace to make us adequate in the situation, because we know that God's grace will be. But we need to ask that God will give us the grace to make us adequate, not just for our own selves, but for the good of others, so that we might live, so that we might work, so that we might play, so that we might meditate, and so that we might sleep confident peace. Notice I didn't say that we might live in, work in, play in, meditate in, and sleep in confident peace, but that confident peace becomes such a part of who we are because of our faithfulness with God, that we live, work, play, meditate, and sleep confident peace, so that our lives and the lives of the world around us might be better and grace-filled. This is God's desire in and for and through us. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. And you alone, O Lord, through us, can help bring safety and confidence. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we admit that oftentimes we don't show or perhaps even feel that confident. Remind us that it is not because you have gone away, but it is our own short-sightedness. Perhaps it's a lack of time spent deeply with you. Help us to renew and recommit ourselves to those relationships with you and with each other, which will help to not only bring peace, but confidence that your peace and your grace can truly make a difference. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 650. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. And you might say, well, wait a minute, I don't remember that hymn. You'll remember the tune. But that is our prayer, that we might have a heart to praise God, a heart that is filled with confident peace. Hymn number 650, and we will sing all three verses.